Shalom, saints, and may the Lord richly bless you. Today is my last day of sharing, and just want to say thank you for your comments, encouragements. All right, we continue with our topic on true bread, and this time I started a subheading called Scarcity of Bread, and I just wanted us to just finalize the same thought. So Matthew 6 verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now today, I want us to look at those people who took supply of the bread seriously, who took the supply of the bread seriously. So a few examples would be Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were able to see what happened in the life of Moses. They were able to see the hand of the Lord. And they were very obedient to the heavenly calling. And these men believed in Moses. And they believed in the scriptures. And as a result, when they were presented with an opportunity to go to the land, they were just so much sure that they would get the land. They did not care what others thought. They didn't care what the majority thought. Another example was Rahab the prostitute. Rahab realized, she had a revelation, and she knew exactly what God was going to do because of what she heard, and she had to make use of the opportunity to hide those spies. And that is how she was saved. David did not spare Amalekites. The Amalekites are the ones which brought trouble on Saul. David did not spare them. He made the most of that. So we have examples of Zacchaeus. Also, Zacchaeus, when the Lord Jesus came to his home, he was able to take the Lord Jesus Christ to his home and made the most of that opportunity. There was also a Roman jailer, the one after Paul and Silas were beaten up and they were locked up in the jail. They started praising, and then the walls broke and the chains were also broken. The jailer wanted to kill himself, but he received salvation that very night. So brothers and sisters, these are examples of people who took supply. So our duty, we have a duty. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 7. This was a time when Israel was suffering. They were in hunger. And then there was a camp of the Syrians where bread was found. And it's a long story. I'm sure you can read the whole story in your time. If you want, you can start it from chapter 6. Now, 2 Kings 7 verse 3. "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. So now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host." Pardon me, I've got dim light, so my reading is a bit slow. "And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled to the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried these things, silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried things also, and went and hid it." Now, "then they said one to another, 'We do not well This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. And behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Okay, I'll stop here. So now, this is a wonderful story where these lepers, there was hunger in Israel, and of course a prophet had gone out to say that the Lord will provide for them. But these people had an opportunity to find bread. Because they had an opportunity to find bread, they had to go to say, they used that bread. They enjoyed that bread. They enjoyed the food. They took the loot and everything. But they said, it is not good that we keep it to ourselves. So that is where we have a challenge, brothers and sisters. We are indebted to take this message to our friends who've not had it, our friends who've not heard it. We need to take this gospel. We need to give it to our friends. And the Lord is going to bless us because this is good news. So good news is news that has to be shared. Now, I'll just give you a short testimony of what happened in Chatama when we had a crusade last month in October. The very first night, the very first day, the word went forth, and it was admonishing people of their sin, and it was a very strong message, actually. And in my heart, I was thinking, I said, with a message like this, I was wondering, I said, will the people come back tomorrow, you know? I even told Brother Piri to say, yesterday I was thinking, I was worried. I thought, will people come? The message was so strong. It was a sharp evangelistic message. And surprisingly, when that message went forth, the altar call was called. There were about 600 people, and surprisingly, about two-thirds of the congregation came to the altar. I've never seen such an altar call. I've never seen such a huge number of people coming to the altar call, coming to the altar, and repenting of their sins. So the day that followed, that number increased. So I said, oh my goodness, this is how God works. And so as we went on, Sunday was the last day, and Sunday it was fully packed. Because we thought Sunday people would go to their churches, and so we wouldn't have the numbers, but Sunday was fully packed. So now I came to understand, after the crusade was over, because myself and a colleague, Brother Laxon, we stayed back here after the crusade, and we trying to make some follow-ups. Those believers, the 36 believers who got baptized, we've been trying to follow them up. And so when we followed these people up, we started hearing the stories now. They were very good testimonies, very touching testimonies, wonderful testimonies. And most of them, they said they had never heard such a word. Most of them were intrigued. And there's been a complaint. They said, but why did you have it for such a short time? Why did you have such a meeting for 3 days? Why didn't you make it 1 week? Because those words, they were so powerful. Then there were some people, I didn't even know, there were some people who were recording the sermons, you know, they were recording, and some people have made them like ringtones and all that. So people really agreed to say what was spoken went into the very soul of my heart. It just hit me. Bam! It has never hit me like that. And when it hit me, and when the word went forth, I realized I needed to change. Then another church, some church leaders, there's another church leader who said, I am a Pentecostal man. I've not lived a dirty life. When I became a Pentecostal, I'm a leader in the church. But he said, the things that I've heard I have never heard them before, and our church is there, and they don't teach us these things. We are just told stories, you know. So, and there's a particular brother, this elderly man, he was an addict, he used to smoke, he used to drink. You know, there's something that happened to him. Now, surprisingly, this is what happened. We had sent out invitations to about 24 villages and to their headmen. We even invited the headmen to come here. But there was a village nearby, I don't know, for some reasons, it was left out. And that is the village where this particular brother I'm talking about comes from. So what happened was, this man, he heard of a story that there's something happening. There's some church meetings somewhere in Chatama. His village is about 3 km, 3 kilometers away from Chatama. That's, I can say, it should be westwards. Yeah. So they told him, they said, there seems to be a lot of noise. There's a big tent and there are vehicles and lights. So he said, but you know, these guys should be Satanists, you know. So he said, I have to go and see it for myself. When he came, you know, he received the word. And I remember the pastor had called an altar call, and he said, all those who are addicts, those who are smoking, come and throw your cigarettes. He's actually one of the men who threw the cigarettes. And he got baptized. Now, after getting baptized, he was very happy. He was overjoyed. So the brothers just told me to say, Brother Nzima, there's this brother, he speaks very, you know, the dialect here. Some people speak a very strong accent because some come from neighboring Malawi. So he said he's very excited, but we can't really hear what he's saying. Yeah, so I had to have a chat with him. He was very happy, and we've been having a wonderful time now. It's been almost a month since the crusade happened, and he's been very happy. And, you know, he said, I want that village which never received the word of God, I want that village to receive the word. So he started ministering to the chief, to the family of the chief, started ministering to the people. You know, he said, you know, I was a slave. I used to buy, one time I had to buy marijuana in a cup. I had to get a cup to buy marijuana. I had to exchange marijuana with a chicken. And he said, after buying that, everybody else came to smoke with me. And I was telling them, you didn't even help me to buy this marijuana. So he said, now, this is what touched me. He said, the time I was smoking, I told them in my heart that that was the last marijuana I was smoking. He didn't even know about the meeting. He said that was the last pot of marijuana I was going to smoke. And as he said that, because he's been struggling and he's been trying to get rid of that habit, when he came for the meeting, it was, boom, it was a confirmation, and he got it. So, brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is this good news. If we had confined it to Lusaka, where we are, our church, our congregation, we wouldn't have known. And in my reasoning, you know, I had thought, you know, the people were hit hard on the first day and maybe they would not come and things like that, not knowing that they said that is the word we needed to hear, because there's a lot of sin. And when the pastor talked about the uniform in the church, people wearing a uniform without salvation, people were excited in the audience. It was confirming to say that a lot of these religious church people, they're just binding people and they don't have a life. So if we read the book of Psalms, chapter 42, you know, the book of Psalms, chapter 42. Okay, as we prepare to close. As their heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Brothers and sisters, while we were trying to organize the crusade, we were planning, in our minds, we were planning to have a crusade here, but in God's mind, there was a sheep that was bleating. There was a sheep that was crying here. It was thirsty. It was longing for that time. And we didn't know. And as it was longing, if we read verse 7, it says, of Psalms 42, Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Brothers and sisters, what happened is the word came, and those souls who were calling and bleating, they received the word of God. Now, can you imagine those lepers, if they kept that news to themselves, to say, after all, we are lepers, and these people we are outcasts. They said, we can't contain this news. So, brothers and sisters, the good news, brothers and sisters, is for sharing. And brothers, I would make a request, and sisters, to say, you pray with us. So this Saturday, we are having another outreach program in the same village of that brother. We've already made arrangements to see the chief, and we've scheduled meetings this Saturday. We are going to the village to have evangelistic services, and he's inviting his people and the neighboring farms that are surrounding that particular village. And it's like the dream of this brother has come true. So the prayer is that labor with us in prayer. As we reach out, these are remote places where people have not heard of the word, where people's lives are destroyed. It's amazing, marriages are so destroyed. I used to think marriages in these remote villages maybe are a bit more conservative and people, but it is not. It's the same devil, it's the same Satan, it's the same evil spirit. And there are a lot of these traditional dances, demonic dances, ritual dances that these people have around here. And let us pray for the people. The other day, a woman came. You know, I was so surprised. She said, just come and pray with me. I've had these sicknesses troubling me. I've been in so many places. These prophets, these witch doctors, she couldn't hide it. She showed us her belly. There were very huge tattoos, very black tattoos, the size of a pencil. Can you imagine? She said, look what they did to me to say I would get healing, and I had to give them food. I have to give them all what I had. And we told her that, sister, salvation is free. It is not for sale. Salvation is free. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. It is free of charge. All you have to do is to open up your heart to him. So people have been held in captivity, in bondage. So brothers and sisters, this work, it cannot be done by one man. Your support in prayer, you labor with us. Because remember, this is good news. And this good news is, we keep it to ourselves. Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. If we all want to be comfortable, yes, we all want to do what we want to do. We want to go for work, we have to do these things. They're necessary. We have to raise our families. But what about the people who've not heard? Look at the value. Look at the abundance of revelations that have been given unto us. We sit on them. But brothers and sisters, this is the time. Let us rise up. Let us arise and shine. Let us pray for one another. Pray for brothers and sisters, those who are in the mission field. Pray. Stand with them. Mention their names. Mention the work they do. So that as we go out there, the Lord can give us the victory. So we pray that may we stand together. May we hold on to this message. May we hold on to this grace until the Lord comes. But brothers and sisters, good news. Food we have to share. Good news has to be shared. Bread is meant to be shared with those that don't have, with those that have been starving, those that are eating from their garbage cans. It's not everyone in the denomination who is lost. There's still a seed somewhere there who's not heard of this wonderful word. So we pray, brothers and sisters, that we are more than able, and we are going to do the work of the Lord. And because this word is, it is the Lord doing it, the victory is already assured. Some time back, I was listening to Brother Jasper when he was sharing, and there's one statement he mentioned. He said, the Lord is going to do his victory, is going to rout out his victory, but it is up to us to choose to be part of that victory or not to be part of it. But all the same, the Lord is going to have his victory. And remember, when the Pharisees told the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Lord Jesus, can you tell these disciples to keep quiet? He said, if they do, the stones are going to rise up. Brothers and sisters, if we don't make the most of this opportunity, the Lord is going to raise the stones, because no one is indispensable. No one is indispensable. We all have to stand. It's grace, and it is free will. And because it is free will, we can make the most of it. Because it is free will. I mean, we can't take advantage of it, rather. It is free will, but we can't take advantage of it. We have to make sure that we get on our post of duty. We always move with fear. Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling at all times. Can you walk circumspectly at all times? Because danger is looming. The world is dark. You don't know what creeps in the dark. You don't know what creeps. So we have to keep the watch. We have to be at the master's table. The talent has been given in our hands. What are we doing with the talent? Somebody had 5, 2, 3, but they had to make the most of it. So let us make the most of this talent. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe that the Lord is going to give us the victory. Oh, brothers and sisters, may the Lord literally bless you. Shalom.